This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 10th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The architect who designed the annex to the Chicago Board of Trade building and the United Airlines Terminal 1 at O'Hare Airport in Chicago, Helmut John, has died. He was killed over the weekend in a bicycling accident in the western suburbs of Chicago when he did not stop as he crossed a road and was hit by cars going both ways. Chris Topple, CEO of Euronext London, Head of Sales Euronext, Chairman Euronext FX, Chairman Nord Pool, Chairman Comcise, Head of FICC and Advanced Data Services, had this to say on LinkedIn about Borsa Italiana joining Euronext. "We are delighted to welcome Borsa Italiana Group to Euronext. This marks a historic day in our ambition to create the leading pan-European market infrastructure, supporting local economies by connecting them to global markets and building the backbone of the capital markets union in Europe. Borsa Italiana will be a key market in Euronext's federal model, preserving its Italian identity and strengths to cater to the needs of the Italian community. It will join our single order book, which offers a unique gateway to Italian investors accessing the largest liquidity pool in Europe and enables international investors to access the Italian market. Together, we will become the leading venue for secondary markets in Europe, and we expect to enhance the businesses of all segments, leading to greater benefits for investors, members, and issuers alike." We missed a recent story from the Wall Street Journal that was an obituary for William Loupian, the former CEO of InstaNet and technology pioneer who died at the age of 79. Financial Times has a special report on exchange-traded funds today. The titles of the articles include ESG Benchmark Divergence, No Barrier to Investor Demand, Spectre of Inflation Puts Fixed Income Managers on Edge, Tilt Towards Value Weighs on ARK Funds But Investors Hold Fast, Cannabis Investors Bet on Regulatory Softening, Should Thematic ETF Investors Be Worried About Liquidity? China's stocks defy U.S. blacklisting by nearly 20% this year. Silver ETF assets surge to all-time high as retail investors pile in. And U.S. takes active ETFs to next level while Europe stays cautious. The New York Times has a podcast titled, "Who Wins in a Meme Stock World?" Great question. Hong Kong Exchange won the In-House Communications Team of the Year Award in the Asia Pacific Association of Communications Director 2020 Awards, which celebrate excellence among in-house communications professionals and teams across the region. Congratulations to David Hogue, OCC's Chief Information Officer, for his nomination as a finalist to the 2021 National CIO of the Year Orbi Awards for the corporate category, which includes CIOs for organizations up to $1 billion in annual revenue. This nomination recognizes Hogue's excellence in technology leadership and innovation at the OCC. Corn prices are up 50% in 2021, and the options trading floor pits are closed, never to reopen. Peter Tuchman, the NYSE trader referred to as the most photographed man on Wall Street, is profiled in an NPR story titled, "I Came Close to Dying. Wall Street's Most Photographed Man is Ready for Normalcy." Joshua Brown, the reformed broker, says Saturday Night Live is the modern-day shoeshine boy, noting Elon Musk's hosting of SNL. CME Group is looking for a TPRM client response analyst, which is an entry junior role in their compliance team for an enthusiastic new graduate. They will interact with clients and learn about many different aspects of a corporate environment, as well as operational functions such as information security and business continuity. Hat tip to CME Group Managing Director Carrie DeSanto. There was a whale stuck in the Thames in London over the weekend. It has been freed. No word on if it works for JP Morgan. Fact of the day, in 1966, an RJO employee, 22-year-old Sandra Stevens, became the first woman to ever work on the floor of the CME. Robert O'Brien Sr. and Leo Melamed were instrumental in advancing the role of women on the trading floor. That's via LinkedIn. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. With so much talk about all the retail business flooding into the futures market recently, let's take a quick look at the state of the event and other retail-focused contracts that the average punter is supposed to be eager to trade more of. Kalshi, the events market designated by the CFTC last November, still has not listed its first contract despite pumping event trading ideas about COVID vaccination rates, greenhouse gas emissions, and economic growth on its website. ErisX withdrew its proposed football sports betting contracts in March at about the same time the Minneapolis Grain Exchange was successfully certifying its corporate tax futures contract that is set to launch on May 24th. In the meantime, Nadex, home of exotic retail derivatives since 2004, reported trading in 64 different contracts on May 6th. There were 16 trades in three unemployment number event contracts that day, the day before the U.S. employment data was published. ISDA kicks off its 35th annual general meeting today. It extends through Wednesday, May 12th. Among its offerings are new 2021 ISDA interest rate derivatives definitions that the group says reflects changes in market practices. To better explain why the definitions were changed and how to access them, ISDA produced a brief animation video. You can watch it with a link in today's newsletter. The spread this week is titled CME Announces Close of Most of Its Trading Pits. CBO Dabbles in ESG. This week on the spread, the CBOE announces it's keeping most of its pit closed for good. CBOE is getting into ESG derivatives and more. You can watch the spread on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Washington Post. It's not a labor shortage, it's a great reassessment of work in America. From Wall Street to the White House, expectations were high for a hiring surge in April with potentially a million Americans returning to work. Instead, the world learned Friday that just 266,000 jobs were added, a massive disappointment that raises questions about whether the recovery is on track. President Biden's team has vowed that its massive stimulus package will recover all the remaining jobs lost during the pandemic in about a year, but that promise won't be kept unless there's a big pickup in hiring soon. There are still 8.2 million American jobs left to recover. At the same time, business leaders and Republicans are complaining that there is a worker shortage, and they largely blame the more generous unemployment payments and stimulus checks for making people less likely to take low-paying fast food and retail jobs again. Democratic economists counter that companies could raise pay if they really wanted workers back quickly. My comment, the pandemic was an inflection point in a lot of people's lives about what is important and what is not. Changes in careers are bound to be part of that. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The personality traits that make lockdown coping easier. Character plays a huge role in resilience, but not in the way many of us thought a year ago. In March 2020, still early in the pandemic, I opined that for introverts, quarantine can be a liberation. I was extrapolating from personal experience and historical examples, and many other pundits had similar hunch. But we were speculating before we had empirical data. Now that such information is available, what does it say? By and large, the research shows I was wrong, but I couldn't be happier because what the evidence actually says is that the truth, as usual, is more complex, more subtle, and more interesting. Being like Little Orphan Annie has its advantages. The sun will come out tomorrow. Here's a story from Reuters. Vlad the Vaccinator, Dracula's castle lures visitors with COVID-19 jabs. Visitors to Dracula's castle are more likely to find puncture marks in their arms than in their necks this month, after medics set up a COVID-19 vaccination center at the Transylvanian attraction. Doctors and nurses with fang stickers on their scrubs are offering free Pfizer shots to all comers at the 14th century Bran Castle, which is purported to be an inspiration for the vampire's towering home in Bram Stoker's Dracula. My comment, okay, this pandemic just got really weird. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Creative destruction is the silver lining of the COVID-19 crisis. Post-pandemic business is growing, and so are policy challenges. If there's a silver lining to the COVID-19 crisis, it is the remarkable creativity shown by the many businesses that have thrived by transforming themselves in unexpected ways during the pandemic. The examples I've come across are numerous. There is the airport security company that made plans to launch a vaccine tracking app after the travel business tanked, or the mall and store owners renting out empty retail spaces to schools that need more space for students to socially distance during lessons, or the digital businesses that can barely keep up with their own growth. My comment, this is the force that rules your life. The more you embrace creative destruction, the more you can move on. The floor traders on the CME Group trading floor who will not be returning to the floor because their pits are permanently closed never quite caught on to the idea. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most clicked story on Friday was our lead story, the Wall Street Journal's From Dutch Tulips to Internet Stocks. Hotspot, a financial bubble, which compared cryptocurrencies and SPACs with past investment crazes. Second was an editorial from Bloomberg called Why Congress Should Care About the Laws of Physics, about the discovery in Batavia, Illinois, of an anomaly that might hold the key to explaining the deepest mysteries of the universe. Third was an opinion piece from David Brooks at the New York Times, our pathetic herd immunity failure. Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. New SEC chairman sets sights on Citadel Securities and Virtu. Regulator questions payment for order flow, in which firms pay brokers such as Robinhood for opportunity to execute investors' orders. The electronic trading firms Citadel Securities and Virtu Financial Inc. have become pillars of the stock market in recent years, rivaling the role played by stock exchanges. Wall Street's new top regulator is putting pressure on them by questioning a key service they provide, executing the orders of millions of ordinary investors whose trades go to their black boxes instead of being routed to public exchanges. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal also. Hedge funds face backlash from Europe in bond market. Spain, France, and Italy have moved to curb orders from hedge funds to avoid demand for new bonds from appearing inflated, bankers said. European governments are acting to limit hedge funds' participation in the market for new sovereign bond issuance following a surge in demand from the firms. The pushback was prompted by unusually large orders placed by hedge funds for new bonds, which can then potentially be sold, sometimes within hours, to the European Central Bank for a profit, bankers, investors, and government officials said. Order books, which track demand for new bonds and help determine the price, have ballooned since hedge funds began to pile into this trade. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Ransomware attack shuts down biggest U.S. gasoline pipeline. The attack appeared to use ransomware group DarkSide. U.S. Energy Department is monitoring potential supply impacts. The operator of the biggest gasoline pipeline in the U.S. shut down operations late Friday following a ransomware attack that threatens to roil energy markets and upend the supply of gas and diesel to the East Coast. Colonial Pipeline said in a statement Saturday that it proactively took certain systems offline to contain the threat, which has temporarily halted all pipeline operations and affected some of our IT system. It's working to get business back to normal. Finally, here's a story from the Financial Times. U.S. and Europe split on bringing bankers back to the office. Transatlantic rift opens over speed at which employees should return to their desks. A transatlantic rift has opened up in banking over the merits of bringing employees back to the office early, with some U.S. executives calling for a swift return to pre-pandemic normality, while many of their European counterparts take a more cautious approach. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.